Good morning, everybody. So glad to see everybody. Glad you're all here. And I just want to introduce our pastor this morning is Pastor Jim Fry. Some of you may already know, and I don't know if you've met him this morning, but he's from the Murfreesboro Nazarene Church, and he's graciously agreed to fill in for Randy today while he's not feeling well. So we just want to welcome him, and we're so thankful for him being here.
Thank you. That's the first time I ever got an applause when I came up to preach. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in the power of praying together can accomplish great things. Fact of the matter is, that's what my wife is preaching on right now in the Murfreesboro Church as they're having their service. Prayer can accomplish great things. My son's daughters are on various softball teams, and I couldn't quite make out all the faces, but it looked like it was my youngest granddaughter, my son's youngest daughter, Reese. She has turned into quite the ball player, and the team she's on has done quite well. But this morning they posted a play that took place at a recent game on Facebook, and they posted it on Facebook. And what it was is they had a runner that was on third base that was trying to steal home. And the pitcher threw the ball to the catcher, and the catcher started running towards third base, and the runner, the other team, ran back to third base, so they threw the ball to third base, but she was already back. So the catcher ran past her, and then another player came around and took her place, and the third baseman threw the ball back to the next player, and this went on and on and on until the ninth player on the team finally came up around where the catcher's position was and threw the ball to the third baseman, and they got her out. Everybody participated, you know, and that didn't just happen by accident. They had practiced that play just in case it ever happened, and it did happen. There is power in numbers. There is power in strength. There is power in working together, and when you pray for someone corporately like you just did here this morning, Kathy may not be physically here, but she was here in your minds and in your hearts and in your prayers. And I would encourage you, as I know you will, keep praying for her and keep praying for that honorary pastor of yours as well. I did get a reaction from him. You know, this is also a first for me this morning. I've never preached on, what's this called, Zoom? Okay, I've done lots of go-to meetings, but this is the first time I've ever preached on Zoom, so I'm... You ever been nervous in front of a group of people? You know, you probably don't think about it much. You sit there and you look up here and you see one person up here. But I look out at you and I see all kinds of faces. And when I first started preaching back in 1980, actually I started preaching back in 1977, I was always nervous. Fact of the matter is, I had preached over 800 times before I realized that I wasn't nervous anymore when I got up in front of people. And this morning, I guess I haven't quite gotten over it yet because still 48 years later, whatever it is, I'm still at it. You ever run across a detour? I had one coming down here. I came down to 127 from Murfreesboro, and I caught just a glimpse of the sign that said road closure. I thought, oh no, am I going to get there in time? Because if the road is closed, I know where it's going to be closed. It's going to be closed at Alto Pass, where they're doing some construction on the road there. And so I'd already committed myself to going, so I kept on going and kept on going, and you're well over halfway by the time you get to that point. And I thought, well, if I have to, I might have to go back the other way and go around through Carbondale and come down 51 and come up that way, and I'm going to get here just as you guys are getting ready to start your service. And I know somebody, whoever's looking for the preacher, is going to be kind of nervous thinking, where in the world is the preacher? And believe me, whoever that is, you would not be the first one, because years and years ago, when Cindy and I lived in Oklahoma, we pastored two churches simultaneously, and they're about a 30-minute drive between churches. And on one particular morning, we ran a little long at the first service and had a few difficulties along the way, and I got into church right as I was supposed to walk up to the pulpit and preach. I found out later that my wife had been wringing her hands out there wondering, where in the world is he? Something happened. We didn't have cell phones back in those days, so she couldn't call me, and I couldn't call her. But it all worked out. And as I stood there proclaiming God's word, it's important that we look at God's word. And I want you, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 26, and there it is going to be on the screen for you. Okay, good. But still have your Bibles open, okay? It's important that we have God's word in front of us, whether it's on the screen or whether it's in our on the Bible in front of us. Some people use their telephones or a tablet where they have a Bible on that. I remember the first time that I experienced that, I had a guy that sat in the back part of the church back there, and David came up to me afterwards and said, I want you to know that I wasn't looking at Facebook on my phone. I was had the Bible app open on my phone, and he showed me it right there. And he said, whenever you see me back there looking down at my phone, I'm not on Facebook. I'm looking at the Bible on my telephone. And indeed, he was and is, and he's probably doing that right now as Cindy is preaching there in Murfreesboro. So let's take a look at Ephesians. Have you found it yet? You know how I remembered how to find Ephesians? General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. General Electric Power Company. It's the only way we're kept it straight. So Ephesians chapter 4, let's start reading a verse 26. And out of respect to God's word, would you please stand? We're going to read through the first part of verse 30. And this is what it says. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us as we apply it to our lives this day and this week. In your name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with somebody before you sit down or wave to them or whatever you feel comfortable with. And then let's take a look at this. Talking about don't detours this morning. Don't. And if you caught it in the course of the reading, there was don't or do not five times. Five do nots, five don'ts. So this morning we'll talk to you about don't detours. Don't detours. Detours are put in place to keep you from going through trouble that might come ahead. I remember years and years ago when my nephew was told, Danny, don't touch the stove. Danny, don't touch the stove. And of course, kids are curious. And so Danny one time reached up when he was just a little past two, almost three, reached up and touched the stove. And the burner had been on just recently. And he seared his fingerprints off of his hand. And to this day, he doesn't have any fingerprints. But he learned not to touch the stove. You tell your kids, look both ways before you cross the street. Don't cross the street till you look both ways. It's a good don't. So there can, a positive can come out of a negative. It can have a positive impact. And that's exactly what these don'ts in Paul's writing this morning did for them, for the Ephesians, and will do for us today. First of all, don't let anger control you. Don't let anger control you. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Well, actually, you know, these weren't the words of Paul. These are the words of King David, recorded in Psalm 4, the first half of verse 4, the exact same words. In your anger, do not sin. He's talking to believers about their lives with other believers and non-believers. In your anger, have you ever got frustrated with somebody? You ever been cut off as you're driving down the road? You know, my wife, I guess this embarrasses her, but anyway, I still do it, and I'll keep doing it. When I'm driving through Carbondale or any large town, you know, people pass you. And they zip past you. And then when you get up to the next traffic light, guess who's sitting there waiting for you? And the part that I think that embarrasses Cindy is, I always wave to them. Sometimes I even honk the horn and wave to them just so they see that I'm there. And then when I get to the next traffic light, guess who's waiting for me again? This time they kind of show their faces. Don't let anger control you. Anger can... It can happen. It really does. To all of us. It could happen to you today. Anger. he's not saying don't get angry. Paul wasn't telling them that. That'd be like telling somebody don't be human anymore. We are going to get frustrated, and sometimes frustration does develop into anger. But don't let anger control you. In your anger, do not sin. Sin is doing something against the known law of God. So you will experience displeasure. You will experience anger. Don't let it control you. As a teenager, I had a rather volatile issue with anger. And I've developed this habit that I wouldn't encourage anybody to ever do. And that is, I would punch walls. Not this kind of wall. I would never punch this kind of wall because that would put a hole in it. Okay? The kind of walls that I punched were brick walls. I would just, seriously, I don't know why I never broke a knuckle. Because sometimes I was really frustrated, really angry, and I would just walk up to the wall and just pound it. Blooded a few knuckles, but never broke anything. That was my way of dealing with stopping that anger in me. Well, fortunately, I learned better ways to do it than punching brick walls. And hopefully you would too. So in your anger, don't let it control you. Don't let anger control you. That's the first don't. That can be a positive. If you get angry, if you allow it to escalate, it creates more problems. It creates tension between people. It bothers you in your spirit. You feel like I failed the Lord. I should not have done that. I should not have allowed it to go that far. So learn how to back away from it. Learn how to control it, to move back just a little bit. The second don't is this. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So again, he's implying that you can have anger, but don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't sleep on it. Don't sleep on the anger. It's not going to help anything. It's not going to make it better. Settle things as early as you possibly can. Waiting can only escalate the situation. Sometimes that means that you're going to have to go and apologize for something that you maybe really don't owe an apology for. I'm sorry. Simple words. Sometimes you can have a little fun with it because, you know, when you say you're sorry to some people, they don't know how to handle it. And it gives you opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. You are a reflection of Jesus. Did Jesus ever get angry? Yeah, I think he did. There's a recording where he cleared the temple out. You know, when the teenagers were selling their candy bars in the sanctuary, he chased them out of the sanctuary. I know that didn't happen, but you know, that's in essence that's what was taking place. They were selling the things that were needed for sacrifices and such in the temple, in the women's court, which was part of the sanctuary, the temple in Jerusalem. It's part of this right here. It's like they were in the back part of the sanctuary, back there where the chairs are, selling the candy bars. Jesus wasn't upset that they were selling stuff. It was where they were selling it. So he would have told the teenagers, don't sell in here. Go out in the foyer and sell it, which is where it's happening. So I'm sure you buy your candy bars today, okay? Sell out, okay? So it's going to a good cause, I'm sure. So don't sleep on it. This is one of the things that Cindy and I wrote within the vows that we said to one another when we got married back in 1977 about not letting the sun go down our anger. And I can tell you that in the 43 years that I've been married, there's only been two exceptions to this the whole time. And I'll tell you this also, I was extremely miserable. I did not sleep well at all that night. It was one of the roughest nights of sleep I probably had in my life. Well, twice, that is. Don't sleep on it. Settle it. Do whatever you have to do to settle the situation. Apologize if you need to. Do what the Lord leads you to do. The third don't. Don't allow unwanted footholds in verse 27, it says this, do not give the devil a foothold. Why create problems for yourself? Don't give the devil a foothold. It continues on in 28 and says, if you've been stealing, steal no longer, but work doing something useful with your own hands that you may have something to share with those in need. If there's a potential problem, as Barney Fife used to say, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. Get it early. If there's a potential problem, get it early. Don't allow Satan to have a foothold in your life. Now, I know of a gentleman years ago who he and his wife started coming to the church I was pastoring. They got saved. Glorious to saved. They began to grow in the Lord. And as is my habit, I went to visit them in their home to see how things were coming along. And I noticed that over on the wall in the living room, behind a glass case, he collected steins. A stein is a beer mug, a German beer mug. He had all kinds of them. And I knew that before he'd become a Christian, he was a pretty strong drinker. And I told him, I called him by name, and I said, you know, really, you need to get rid of those things. Those are like lightning rods for Satan to get back in your life. Because they would have been a problem for him. Some people could have them and it would be no problem at all, but for him, I knew it would have been, knowing him, I knew it would be a problem for him. So I cautioned him about it and continued to pray for him. And I noticed that a few months later, his wife was starting to come by herself. Not all the time, but most of the time. And then he just flat out didn't come. And then within a couple months, they had separated and divorced, and he had moved out. He never got rid of his collection of steins. He never got rid of the thing that was the potential problem. And it could be something very innocent. You know, I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. I don't know if we have any Packer fans here, but I'm a Green Bay Packer fan. And once the church in Murfreesboro discovered that, it seems that every time I have a birthday or an anniversary or something, I get something about Green Bay Packers. I have a little bobblehead. Green Bay Packers. I have a football with Green Bay Packer. I have a picture of the stadium of Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field up in Green Bay. I have all sorts of things about Green Bay, but they're just things. I don't, if I had to give them all away, I wouldn't hesitate. I'm not attached to them. They're not something that is going to draw me away from serving the Lord as these beer steins were for this young gentleman. I wish I could tell you that he came back to the Lord. That I don't know. I do know that his wife became a very dynamic Christian young lady. Very dynamic. But he allowed that foothold to stay there. Sometimes you may have a foothold in your life. If you discover it, get rid of it. It's really not worth it. If you've ever been through a tornado, and I've been through several in my life, you learn that things are replaceable. People are not. You know, you can lose, and I have several times lost everything. But you still have the people. And that's what matters the most. The first tornado that I saw was when I was, I think I was about 10 years old. It was in southeast Kansas. And my mom and dad were experiencing marital problems. So mom went back home to her parents' place in southeast Kansas, and dad stayed in Los Angeles, California. And for a semester, they were separated from one another. Well, during that semester, we lived on my grandparents' farm, and there was a tornado that was coming through the area. And they had a huge picture window with a couch pushed up against it. And as a young kid, instead of going, you know, where you're supposed to go when a tornado happens, I went to where you weren't supposed to go. I went to the window and looked out, and I'm watching this tornado, and I'm seeing it coming, and it came into what most city folks would call the yard and picked up this young calf that had just been born a day or two earlier and whished it away. Since that time, I've been fascinated with storms. So when people run away from a storm, I run outside to watch and see what's happening. I know when to stay away, though, okay? I know when it's time to quit. I've learned that through a couple experiences. My grandpa never said a word about that calf. It was replaceable. What was important was the people were safe. Footholds. footholds. Don't allow them. Get rid of them if you can. All right? Now, let's look at the fourth don't here, the fourth don't detour. In verse 29, it says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You need to be careful of the verbiage, the words that you use. Some words we don't get in the habit of using, we don't think much about them, and well, let me give you an example. When I was a kid growing up, we wore flip-flops. Anybody wear flip-flops? Only we didn't call them flip-flops. We called them thongs. And I mentioned that one time about 5 or 6 years back, and there were a bunch of teenagers was around, and their faces grew red, and they began to laugh. And you know exactly why. Because a thong to me was not a thong to them. It had changed a whole new meaning over the time. So you got to watch the words you use. Sometimes they hit people differently. Look closely at what the verse says, okay? It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others." Not yourself. Helpful for building up others. According to their needs, not yours, their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, not you, them. You are an influencer. You may not have thought of yourself like that before, but you are an influencer. People listen to you. People watch you. They know what you say about yourself, but what does your life say about yourself? What do your words say about yourself? On the average, you know 200 people. On the average, across the board, around the United States, an average American knows approximately 200 people. Now, some know up more, some know a lot less, but on the average, 200 people. So let's just say that's level across the board. 200 people hear what you say. 200 people see what you do. And what you don't do. They see your example. They see your life. Is it the kind of life that would lead them to the Lord? Remember, we're reflections of the Holy Spirit. Don't allow any unwholesome talk. When I lived in Skytook, Oklahoma, I drove a school bus. And there was a guy who was a retired sailor. And Charlie had been a career for him. And he'd been over all parts of the world. In fact, he told us a story one time where on leave, they were at a particular island, and when he got off, he found a taxi to take himself someplace, or for the taxi driver to take him someplace. And when he got there, the taxi driver went to show him where it was, and Charlie stopped him and said, "But my stuff is in the car, and the keys are in the ignition, and it's running. Aren't you afraid that your car's going to be stolen or my stuff is going to be stolen?" He said, "Oh, no, we don't have any problem with theft here on this island because we have a habit. If somebody steals something with the right hand, they chop it off. So people don't steal." And he was right. When they came back later on, guess what was still running? What was still in the car? The car was still running, still sitting there, and his stuff was still in the car, totally untouched. Totally untouched. But Charlie had a foul mouth. You've heard the phrase, "cuss like a sailor." He did. And he knew that I was a preacher. And when he saw me, he would switch to what he termed, what he considered, a milder form of language. Instead of, for a slight example, instead of saying "damn," he would say "darn." And always did that. Whenever he saw me coming, if he's in the midst of telling a story, he would switch. Well, one morning, instead of coming around this side, I came up behind him. And he's sitting in the circle telling the story. And let me tell you, his language was extremely colorful. And the other guy saw me coming. He had his back directly to me. He did not see me at all. But I did notice them start to cover their mouths. They're trying to hide the the snickering that they started to doing. And as soon as I stepped around to the side where I came into Charlie's peripheral vision, he about had a heart attack because of what he'd just done. Do we talk in such a way that it doesn't matter who's listening to us? Now, I realize there are some topics that, you know, are strictly for adults to have about different things, and I'm not talking about any unwholesome thing, that other times you need to make sure that what you're saying is open for everybody to hear. You know, there are people that are missing out on jobs because of things they posted on Facebook. Seriously. Years ago. People will investigate. People will investigate you. What will they find? What will they find? This last one here, this fifth don't, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This sometimes has been known as the unpardonable sin. Well, what's grieving the Holy Spirit? Now, let's put it in mild terms. Disappointing. Maybe somebody did something and you thought, I really expected better of them. Well, they just grieved you. They just caused you heartache. Remember this. Paul here is writing to a group of believers. These things that he's talked about here were things that were going on in that church and have gone on in churches ever since. He's trying to put a stop to it, trying to get us to think about what's happening in and around us. These don't detours. Don't let anger control you. Don't sleep on it, sleep on the anger. Don't allow unwanted footholds. Don't allow unwholesome talk. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit are things that we need to practice. We need to live them out all the time until they just become natural. They need to become the natural like this. Let's see. I'm not a cook. Ask anybody that's been around when I've done cooking, and they'll tell you, don't eat what Pastor Jim cooks. Okay? I've had a little fun with that in times past. I'll tell you a quick story in a moment here. But anyway, I follow the recipe. Okay? Right down the line, I follow the recipe. And if it turns out it's because I followed the recipe, other people, like my wife, she may have a recipe as a guide, but it's more like, okay, this that'll work. Pinch of this, a dash of this, maybe a teaspoon of that, and it's great. Living out these don'ts needs to become like my wife's way of cooking until it's just a natural flow, not something you have to give thought to every single moment of the time. Well, the story. I was pastoring in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and back in those days, you could actually bring homemade cookies to Vacation Bible School. Maybe you still can here. But anyway, they knew that I wasn't much of a cook, but I promised them that in the spirit of helping out, I would bring some peanut butter cookies. Now, I knew that these ladies always tasted the first cup of cookies on top of whatever the batch was. So I put this in a tall container, and there'd be three of them. So I put three cookies on the top that I knew they would sample. Well, what I didn't tell them, well, I told them I was bringing peanut butter Tabasco cookies. Okay? Now, they were peanut butter cookies, but only the top three cookies had Tabasco sauce in them. And while they were still moist, before they finished cooking, I took the Tabasco container and went on top of those three cookies, off to the side, and then put them on top. It took me a lot of convincing to get those ladies to serve those cookies to the kids. The ones below the three. Okay? People remember. And people remember whether you follow these don'ts, these don't detours. They'll remember. So you please remember as well. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, you know each one that is here. And you know, Lord, that we're walking with you. Sometimes we need a little correction, a little, okay, I realize that, so that we can keep moving closer to you. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we are followers of you. And we know, Lord, that if we make a mistake, you're going to help us correct it and move forward. Help us become more and more what you'd have for us to be. That's why we grow in you. May we be committed to you all the way. Again, Lord, I ask that you would bless Pastor Randy Wright this day. Touch him physically, touch him spiritually, and Kathy as well. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.